would just seek the Lord, the word of prayer. Let us look to the Lord for his help and blessing in our meeting this evening. Let us pray. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal Father in heaven, we thank thee this night for thy goodness that finds us here in the house of the Lord, in the place of prayer. We realize, O God, tonight that it is because of thy mercies, thy compassions, thy grace, indeed thy faithfulness and kindness toward us that we gather here in this fashion. We come to thee, O God, in and through the precious, worthy name of thy dear Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the only Redeemer of sinful man. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that Christ died for our sins upon the cross. The Bible tells us that when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. And Father, we thank thee that he paid the ransom price for our redemption in full. When he cried out on the cross, it is finished. And we thank thee, O God, that he offered himself without spot unto God. And Father, we thank thee, O God, that thou art well pleased, and that thou, O God, wert satisfied in the death and the sacrifice of thy beloved Son. We thank thee, O God, that Christ was without sin, that he was sinless and spotless and flawless. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that he died, that he rose again, and Lord, that he is alive forevermore, that he is seated, O God, at thy right hand in heaven's glory. And we thank thee, O God, this night for the merits of Christ, for the merits of his atoning blood that cleanseth us from all sin. We thank thee, Father, for the merit of his perfect righteousness, and we thank thee for that robe of righteousness that thou hast imputed to us. And Father, we thank thee, O God, tonight that as thy people, we are highly favored and accepted in the beloved. And Father, we thank thee for all thy mercies to us. We thank thee for thy grace toward us this day. We thank the Lord for providing for us, for watching over us, preserving us, Lord, in our going out and our coming in. And Father, we thank thee, O God, for enabling us to gather here tonight in this fashion. And Father, we thank thee for the great promise of thy word, that thou hast said, draw nigh unto me, and I will draw nigh unto you. And Father, we would plead that promise, O God, before thee this night. We pray that as we would draw nigh to thee, O God, in prayer and in worship, Lord, that thou wilt draw near to us tonight, draw near to our hearts. And let, Lord, by thy Spirit and power and grace, come, Lord, and minister to us as thou would see our particular need. We thank thee, Lord, for all who have been able to come tonight, for every household, family represented, meet the need of every heart and of every life, encourage and edify and strengthen the saints of God. And even, Lord, as we've been singing, Lord, we would indeed make that our prayer tonight, that thou would plant our feet, as it were, on higher ground with thee. Help us to press on, Lord, as thy people, toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Help us, Lord, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us to die to self and to die to sin more and more, and to live more and more unto Christ, that others might take note that we've been to Jesus, that we belong to the Lord, and that we're bound for heaven. Bless every household tonight. Unite all our family circles in the Lord. Do you remember those that cannot be with us because of age and sickness and infirmity? We pray that thou wilt bless them and minister to them. Remember, Lord, those that are shut in. We pray for thy blessing, Lord, to be upon them. And remember, Lord, those also that are shielding, watch over them and protect them. And Lord, for others that mourn and grieve, we ask, comfort their hearts, we pray, by the grace and power of God. Remember all those listening in online tonight as well, whoever they are, wherever they might be. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt bless them, that thou, Lord, wilt speak to them from thy word, and that thou wilt have a word in season for them also, O God, we pray. We thank thee for the meeting tonight in Tresna, for all the boys and girls who gathered to hear your word. And Lord, speak on to their young hearts and their young lives, we pray. And Lord, make them wise, each one unto salvation. And those who are saved, we pray that thou wilt strengthen them, and that thou wilt save their families, their mums and their dads as well, Lord. And that even through this meeting we might see them gathering with us here under the sound of thy word. Bless our land tonight, O God. Remember other prayer meetings such as this, and gospel missions on at this time. Bless every faithful servant of God. Wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed, we pray that thou would own it and bless it, O God. May there be signs following the preaching of thy word this night in the salvation of souls and in the blessing and in the reviving, Lord, of thy people, we pray. Do us good now. Cleanse our hearts afresh. Outpour thy spirit upon us. Close us in, Lord, with yourself. Do every heart much good. And Lord, may we leave this meeting house tonight revived and refreshed and strengthened, knowing of a truth, Lord, that it was good to be here. For here we met with thee, our God and our Savior. Answer prayer, O God, we ask. For we pray all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. We're going to turn tonight, please, in God's word to Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11. And we're reading just from verse 25 of that chapter, going down to the end. And then we're turning back to Psalm 23 and reading one verse from that psalm, the verse number 2. So if you'd like to mark those two passages in your Bible, we will be looking really at Psalm 23, verse 2. But I want to read, first of all, Matthew 11, verse 25 through to verse 30. And then Psalm 23 and the verse number 2. And while you're looking it up, let me welcome everyone tonight in the Lord's great name. It's good to see so many gathered with us here at our midweek prayer meeting. We bid you welcome. Pray the Lord will richly bless you tonight around the Word of God. Welcome also those that are listening in online as well, that you too will know the rich blessing of the Lord. Do remember the meetings over the weekend. Pray for them. Friday night, the children's meeting here, 6:30. The youth fellowship at 8 o'clock. Our brother Colin will be speaking to youth on Friday night. And then the services in the Lord's Day Sunday School and a Bible class, 11 a.m. morning worship service at 12. And then the special testimony meeting on Sunday night at 7. Remember, brother, as he comes to testify of God's grace, that God's hand would be upon him. Do make it known and do all you can to invite others in under the sound of God's word. Also ask the menfolk, remember the work party tomorrow night. Hopefully it'll be a night like tonight. The sun will shine and we'll be able to do that wee bit of painting along the driveway coming up there. So do remember that, 7:30 tomorrow night. Bring your own paintbrush. The church will supply the paint. I don't know if they'll supply supper or not. I don't know if there'll be supper, but hopefully it'll be a good night. Trust as many as possible will gather for that tomorrow evening. Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 11, and we'll read just from the verse number 25. It says, "At that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." And then turning back to Psalm 23, just one verse, as the verse number 2 of that psalm, verse 2 of Psalm 23, it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." May the Lord bless this reading of his precious and holy word to our hearts. The verse I want us just to look at tonight, just as we continue on in our studies in Psalm 23, is that verse number 2. Where it says, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And commencing our study in Psalm 23, we saw that this psalm really presents Christ as the shepherd of his people, and indeed his people the sheep of his pasture. In verse 1 of the psalm, we noted David's testimony, and where he says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And in his testimony, we noted his confession, his assurance, his confidence. Well, here in verse 2 of the psalm, we see how David makes reference to spiritual rest in his life. And this rest was really all due to the Lord's dealings with him as an individual believer. He says in verse 2 of the psalm, "He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters." And the picture here is that of a shepherd really leading his flock to a restful place, a place where there is plenty of pasture, plenty of water. And this restful place really depicts the rest that belongs to the people of God. Yes, spiritual rest, contentment, peace, and satisfaction is indeed a blessing that the Lord has for all of his people. And that blessing is one that we find highlighted many times throughout the Scriptures. Think of the words of Christ there in our Bible reading this evening, also in Matthew 11, verse 28, that great gospel text, highlighting the great rest that the Lord brings to his people. When he says in those words of invitation, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Also over in the book of Isaiah, we read there of Isaiah speaking to God's ancient people about returning unto the Lord. And he says, "In returning and rest, ye shall be saved." And again there the thought is of rest, peace, satisfaction, contentment for God's ancient people upon their return to the Lord. And again over in the book of Hebrews, it says in chapter 4 and verse 9, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." And there are many more references, all pointing to this great blessing of spiritual rest for the people of God. Again, that particular rest is a rest also that is depicted in many of the great gospel hymns that we often love to sing. The hymn writer says, "Who sighs for a heart from iniquity free?" And then answers, "There's rest weary one in the bosom of God." And there they were speaking of the spiritual rest that is found in Christ for his people. Again, the hymn writer could say of the Lord, "We rest on thee, our shield and our defender." And again, they speak there of the rest that there is found in the Lord and through knowing the Lord as Savior. Yes, dear child of God, in this world, our testimony as God's people is to be a testimony that is to be marked by spiritual rest, contentment, and peace and satisfaction that comes from the Lord. Yes, this is a blessing that God wants us to enjoy as his people. This is a blessing that God wants us to experience as his people. This is a blessing that God wants us also to testify off of as his people in our world day by day. And why it is this particular blessing of spiritual rest that David here sets before us in verse 2 of Psalm 23. And as we would consider and think about this rest tonight, I want us just to note three ways in particular whereby this rest can be promoted in the lives of God's people. First of all, we can say that the believer's spiritual rest is promoted by a realization of their security in the Lord. And you'll see here from the psalm that David here is conscious of his own security in the Lord. Look again at what he says there in verse 2 of the psalm. He says about the Lord, "He leadeth me beside the still waters." Notice the mention there of the still waters. When you and I think of still waters, we think of a place that is calm, a place that is serene, secure, a place really that is free from disturbance and distraction. That's the picture. It speaks, yes, of security. And my, this is how it is with every child of God. Dear believer in the meeting tonight, you and I, yes, we are secure in the hand of the Lord. We are secure in the hand of Christ. In John chapter 10, the Lord speaks of his people and he says, "No man shall pluck them out of my Father's hand." The believer is secure in the hand of the Lord. Again, in the book of Deuteronomy 33, in the verse number 3, Moses speaks to the Lord about his people and he says, "All his saints are in thy hand." Christian, in the meeting tonight, remember this, that you're secure in the hand of the Lord. You're in the hand of the Lord. No better place of security to be. It's greater than all the banks of the world and all the fortresses of the world. No more secure place than being in the hand of the Lord.
And child of God, what does this security mean? Yes, it means as God's people that all our sins are forgiven through the blood of Christ. The Bible says the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And this pardon is something, yes, to rest in. It is something to rejoice in. And it really means that we are no longer under God's condemnation because of our sin. Turn with me in your Bible over to the New Testament book of Romans. Romans chapter number 8. And what a chapter this is for the people of God, highlighting the great security of the believer. But look at how it begins. Romans chapter 8 and the verse number 1. It says, there is therefore now, this is a present blessing for the Christian here on earth, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that speaks of all who are saved, born again of the Holy Spirit, all who have trusted Christ for salvation. No condemnation now for them here on earth. Go on down to verse 33 and verse 34 of the chapter. It says there, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. And there the argument that Paul is using in those verses is that there is now no condemnation for the believer, no charge against the believer. Why? Because Christ has died and they're justified through Christ. Yes, believer, you and I were justified. We are pardoned through Christ, through the precious blood of Christ, accepted, highly favored with God through the perfect righteousness of Christ. What a security this is. Yes, it means, yes, that all our sins are forgiven by the blood of Christ. But also we can say further, this security means that we're saved. Saved from a lost eternity in hell, that we shall never be punished for our sins in the lake of fire. Why? This is because as our substitute, Christ on the cross, he bore our hell. He bore the wrath of God that we deserve justly for our sins. He bore it upon himself. Peter speaks of this very fact when he speaks of Christ, and he says, who his own self bear our sins in his own body to the tree. Again, the Bible says, much more, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Think of that, believer, saved from wrath to come through Christ. And Christian, this is something, yes, to rest in, something to confide in. Yes, praise God, because of Christ, we'll never be lost in hell. What a mercy, what a blessing. Then we can add further, yes, we can say that this security means the certainty of a place in heaven, of a place in glory. Remember what Christ said to his disciples in John 14, verse 19. He says, because I live, ye shall live also. My, because Christ has died and Christ has risen again, our place in heaven is sure. Our place in heaven is guaranteed. Yes, at death, our souls will go immediately to heaven. And when Christ returns, our bodies will rise incorruptible and be made like unto Christ's glorious body. And my, our souls and our bodies will be reunited forever in heaven in glory forevermore. This is our portion, our eternal portion, all because of Christ, our Redeemer. The Bible speaks of Christ in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and the verse number 10. And this is what Paul says about Christ. He says, our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And dear believer, that's what Christ has purchased for us. Life, eternal life, abundant life, and immortality through his glorious gospel. Oh, believer, think much, I tell you, upon this blessed security. And your heart, yes, and your soul will know much rest, much contentment, much peace in this troubled world, in this world of turmoil and conflict. But then secondly, we can say further tonight, the believer's rest is also promoted by a sufficiency of spiritual food. And again, you'll see how David makes reference to this here in verse 2 of the psalm when he speaks of the Lord. And he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Notice those words, in green pastures. And the picture here is really of a sheep feeding on luscious pastures of green grass. And there it finds sufficient food, and so much so that it is contented and it lies down in those green pastures. That's the picture here that David is setting before us in the text when he says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Picture there is of a flock of sheep lying down in pastures, luscious pastures of green grass, sufficient for them, contented to lie down there at peace and at rest. And these green pastures here that the psalmist speaks of really reminds us of the spiritual food that the Lord has provided for all of His people. What is that food? That food is the precious Word of God. Christ Himself speaks of that in the Gospel of Matthew when He says in Matthew 4, verse 4, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And believer, it's by us feeding our souls in the Word of God that you and I, yes, will know much spiritual rest, much peace, much contentment in our hearts and souls as the people of God. There's great blessing for us in the Word of God. Turn back there to Psalm number 19. Just look at what the psalmist says there about the Word of God. Just look at the opening statement there of verse 8 of Psalm 19. He says, The statutes, that's the Word of God, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. There you see the Word of God brings joy to our hearts, brings jubilation to our souls. Turn over, please, to Psalm 119. Just go on over a little bit from the Psalm 23. Psalm 119. And go down to verse 165 of the Psalm. Look at what it says there. It says, Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And there you see that the Word of God brings you and I great peace. In this world, in this scene of time, there's great peace for us in the Scriptures. There's joy for us in the Scriptures. There is great peace for us in the Scriptures. There's much blessing for us in the Word of God. Turn over a little bit further to Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 3. And just look again at what is said here in verse 1 and verse 2 of Proverbs chapter number 3. Again, we read of the blessing here of the Word of God. It says, My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments for length of days and long life. Notice it, and peace shall they add to thee. Go down to verse 17 of the same chapter. Again, the thought here is of blessing through the Word of God, the ways of God. It says, Her ways, notice it, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. That's what God has for you and I in the green pastures of His Word. He has pleasantness for us. He has joy for us. He has peace for us. He has much blessing for us in the Word of God. It was John Flavel, one of the Puritan preachers, speaking of the Bible, the Word of God, and the effect of it in the life of the Christian, said these words. He says, The Scriptures teach us the best way of living, the noblest way of suffering, the most comfortable way of dying. And there he was referring to the fact of the great comfort that the Word of God brings to the believer. Believer, the Word of God, yes, brings comfort to our hearts. It brings peace to our souls. It brings satisfaction. It's like marrow for our souls and for our being. Paul, writing in the book of Romans, talks there about the comfort of the Scriptures. And what comfort there is for us in the Word of God. You and I look around our world tonight and there's much turmoil, there's much heartache. And you see it all around in society. And I believe one of the reasons for that in our society is this, because our society by and large is rejecting the Word of God and turning away from the Word of God more and more. And as a result of that, people in society are more and more in turmoil and trouble and concern. When there is a forsaking of the Word of God, there's always trouble, there's turmoil, there's lack of peace, there's lack of contentment. You see that in our society. And believer, if you and I, yes, if we are to profit from the green pastures of God's Word, then it's important that on a daily basis we feed our souls in the green pastures of God's Word. In other words, take time day by day to read the Word of God for ourselves. Not only to read it, but to meditate upon it. Even if it's just a little verse, a little phrase of Scripture, to turn it over in your heart, turn it over in your mind, think about it, pray over it. Pray it into your heart. Pray it into your soul. You'll find much joy and blessing and contentment. Yes, it's vitally important that we feed our souls upon the Word of God. And can I say it's also vitally important that we fellowship with other believers around the faithful preaching of the Word of God. And when with health and strength and freedom and liberty, we should do all we can to be in God's house with God's people and fellowship around the Word of God, because there's blessing there for us as the people of God. Recently, I was reading the testimony of an elderly believer. I think he's in his, I have to be careful what I say here, but he's in his late 70s, maybe early 80s. Don't want to offend anybody tonight by saying that, but he's been saved for over 64 years, a long time. He was just a young man when he was a young teenager. And he was giving a word of testimony. It's in written form, and he said this in his testament, and I noted it. He said, the thing that really helped him most in his Christian life is he looks over 64 years of walking with God and living for God. And he said this, the thing that helped him most in his 64 years of following Christ was this. And he quoted these words. He says, it was being an active member of a Bible-believing, Christ-loving, and cross-proclaiming church. And he found much help and blessing for that in his life over 64 years. In other words, he was blessed through fellowshipping with God's people together around the Word of God in the house of the Lord. And that's what God has for us, through gathering together with his people around the green pastures of the Word of God. Notice one final thought here tonight, and it is this. The believer's rest is also promoted by a submission to God's will, by a submission to God's will. And again, you see how David here really alludes to this and makes mention of this in his own life in verse number 2. When he says of the Lord, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. And then he goes on and he says, he leadeth me beside the still waters. And notice in particular that phrase, or he maketh me. He leadeth me. And when you just, as it were, look at those words and those phrases, they really show here a yielding in David's part to God's will for his life. He says of the Lord, he leadeth me, he maketh me to lie down. And that speaks of how David here was submitted and yielded to the Lord. And there's a lesson there for us and for all God's people, and it is this, that yielding to God's will always leads to rest, to contentment, to peace, and to satisfaction in the believer's life. Again, you think of sheep. If sheep are to know the rest of the sheepfold, what must they do? They must yield to the call of the shepherd or the command of the shepherd. If they don't yield to his call or his command, they'll not know the rest, the shelter of the sheepfold. And likewise, believer, if you and I are to enjoy spiritual rest in our souls, we must always yield to God's will for our lives. We must always yield to God's voice and God's way for our lives. And the Bible indeed would show us that if we go against God's will, we'll rob ourselves of spiritual rest. We'll rob ourselves of spiritual peace. Remember what happened to Jonah? Jonah was saved. He was a servant of God. Yet he disobeyed God's will for his life. And instead of going to Nineveh, he went to Tarshish. And the Bible tells us how he ended up in a very stormy sea. And this is what it says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 4. It says, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so the ship was like to be broken. And in Bible times, the ships of Tarshish were really the Titanics of their day. They were mighty ships. They were considered to be unsinkable. But my God tossed that vessel up and down in the storm. Why? Because Jonah went away from the will of God, from doing the will of God. And he ended up in a storm. ended up in a rough sea. He lost the peace of God that passeth all understanding in making that choice to go to Tarsus. On the other hand, the Bible speaks to you and I about Paul. Yes, Paul had many trials in life, many tribulations. But he could testify of the peace of God that passeth all understanding in his life. And the reason was he sought to do God's will. Think back to when he was saved. What was his first statement? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He was yielded to the Lord. That was the mark of his life. Think of his parting words as he comes to the end of his earthly journey. He could say to Timothy, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He had many, many trials, tribulations. Many things were against him outwardly. But he knew God's peace in the midst of it all. He knew God's contentment, God's rest. Because he sought by the grace of God in his earthly life to obey and do the will of God. And by doing the will of God, yielding to the will of God, dear Christian, there's a rest for us, there's peace for us, there's contentment for us, there's satisfaction for us. Yes, all around us there may be storms, there may be trials, there may be tribulations. But when we yield to the will of God, we will know and we will prove the peace of God that passeth all understanding. You think of what the hymn writer says about knowing and doing the will of God. The hymn writer penned these words. They said, thou sweet beloved will of God, my anchor, ground, my fortress hill, my spirit's silent fair abode, in thee I hide and am still. They knew God's peace, God's blessing, by knowing and doing the will of God. Yes, there they speak of a calm repose through living out the will of God in their lives. Believer, the Bible says to you and I that we are to yield ourselves unto God. And by doing so, yes, we'll be following the very example of Christ. He says, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Indeed, by yielding to God's will, we will know spiritual rest. We'll know the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And with David of old, yes, we too will be able to say of the Lord, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Let us rest in our security in Christ. Let us rest in the green pastures of the Word of God day by day. And let us rest in the good and the perfect and acceptable will of God for us. And seek to live out that will in our lives day by day to the glory of the Lord. May the Lord bless his word and write these truths upon our heart and our soul this evening. We'll just get down to our season of prayer. Just some prayer requests I want to lay before you. Remember the services over the weekend. Pray for the children's meeting, the Sunday school, the youth, and fellowship, Bible class, the morning service. And remember especially the testimony meeting on Sunday night. Pray for God's blessing upon that. Make it known. Pray for souls to come in. Do you remember our land, the situation regarding COVID, that God would restrain us? Pray for revival and reformation in our land. Do you remember the sick and the bereaved in our congregation? Do you remember them? The Reverend Cook also is in hospital, is improving. Do you remember him in your prayers? And then Julie, that's Norma's and Martha's sister, hoping to go for surgery next week. So pray that that will come to pass and that it will be successful in the will of the Lord. And do remember our missionaries as well. Do remember Let the Bible Speak ministry. Think of the Boyles laboring in Mexico City. Pray for God's blessing upon them. And also the work of Acre Mission in South America. Remember that vast continent. Pray for God's people there under much persecution. I was reading an article there recently regarding believers in Venezuela. They were doing outreach among those that were involved in drug addiction, and they were attacked by a mob at knife point. They were beaten up, and then the shape of a cross was etched on their skin by knives. Not only that, but then they were made to eat the pages of the Bibles that they were given out. And it is believed that those responsible were those really under the rule of the government. So that's really what's happening in many parts of the world. We have so much freedom and liberties here. Let us not take that for granted, but pray for God's people, especially in those areas, very difficult.
that God's hand would be upon them. That is something that's just happened recently, in recent weeks out in that land there amongst God's believing people. So remember those countries very much in your prayers. But we'll get down to our season of prayer. Encourage as many as possible to pray, young and old. Alike. Remember Brother Colin as well and Noel, they're having an open air in Skillen tomorrow and then moving on to Irvinstown. Pray for God's blessing upon that, to know God's help and God's grace. And maybe ask our brother David Moore to lead us off in prayer, and then our brother Matt, and then one after the other, as the Lord would lead us, please. And that there be no gaps, let us pray one with another and one for another, upholding one another in prayer, seeking the Lord together at the throne of grace. Our brother David, please, and then our brother Matt, and one after the other, as the Lord leads us, please. Thank you.